In our text of Scripture, we see how the God of heaven and earth is spoken of as the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity. Eternity has been defined as timelessness. It doesn't have a beginning and it doesn't have an end. There is no way to measure eternity. Very often preachers, and probably I'll do it again tonight, will speak about the eons of eternity, or we will speak about the long ages of eternity, and we cannot do anything else because we are creatures of time, and so we think in terms of time. Eternity is something beyond our imagination. And so when I come to speak about eternity tonight, really what I'm doing is an impossible task because our finite minds cannot grasp it. But I want you to realize tonight that your soul is immortal. It will not come to an end. That your soul will not cease. There is never going to be a time when your soul is going to go out of existence. You, from this moment and from the time you were born, are going to go on right out into eternity. 1,000 years from tonight, you'll be somewhere. 10,000 years from tonight, you'll be somewhere. And increase that by a multiple of 1,000,000, and you will be still somewhere. This is eternity. The old cobbler one day was sitting, looking after the shoes, and in the shop there was an old-fashioned clock, and as he was putting the nails into the shoes, he heard the tick of the clock, and as he was thinking and his mind was turning over, the one tick of the clock seemed to say eternity, and then as the pendulum swung, it said, where? Eternity, where? Eternity, where? Eternity, where? And that's the question that I want to put to you tonight. Where will you be in eternity? The Egyptians, King Pharaoh Khufu of Egypt, spent 20 years laboring to build a tomb for himself. We think of the slaves, 6,700 highly skilled individuals, never mind the slaves that were there. And he did that. Why? Because right in his mind and in his heart, there was maybe a perverted knowledge, maybe a knowledge that had been twisted into the pagan concepts that they had. But there was a knowledge and a realization that there was something beyond this life. And there is something beyond this life. There is a place. There is a circumstance that you are going to face. And we speak here in the context of the high and lofty one, the omniscient, the omnipresent God, the God who is there to see all things and is everywhere present, is one who knows everything, the end from the beginning. And he is the one that inhabits eternity tonight. Where do you stand in relation to him? Where you stand in relation to him is going to determine where you spend eternity. So I want you to think about that question tonight. Only you can answer the question, and God, where you will spend eternity. If I could answer the question for you, I would, but I can't. Maybe there are those that you think of who've gone out into eternity and there was some kind of question mark over them. And maybe tonight you would love to know where they are in eternity. But you can't know. You don't know. But dear friend, you can know for yourself. You can know where you were going to spend eternity. And isn't that a question that you need to face? Isn't that a question, a most important question that you need to contemplate tonight? And I want you to take the time. Don't be thinking about other things. Don't be thinking about tomorrow or what you're going to say to people when you're going out from the meeting. Just take, this is important. Dear man, I'm not here just for the sake of my health or just to while away a few minutes in a Sunday evening. I'm here for the sake of your soul. I'm here to present the gospel of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So we want you to take the time, and we want you to think about this thing called eternity. And first of all, I want you to think about the certainty of eternity. Just think about what the Bible has to say. We read tonight that eternity is God's dwelling place. And we think about this life, and we have said that when you spend this life, and maybe you've been thinking a lot about life and where you're going, maybe you're a young person tonight, and what you're going to do with your life, and where you're going to spend your days, and what it's going to be like. But dear friend, 10 years, 20 years, 50 years, whatever it is, what stretches on beyond that? What is it that you're going to face? Well, thank God for eternity. You know, if we had only 1,000 years, we would be thinking, well, what's going to happen at the end of the 1,000 years? If we had 1,000,000 years, we would be thinking about what will happen at the end of 1,000,000 years. Dear friend, your existence is not going to come to an end. And you can thank God for eternity if you're saved, if you're washed in the precious blood of the Lamb. But I want you to think about what the Bible says about eternity. The Lord Jesus said to the people, he says, I give unto them, he's speaking about his own people, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Now, why would the Lord give a promise of eternal life if there wasn't an eternity to enjoy it? For eternal life to mean anything, there's got to be an eternity. You think of that most well-known verse in the Scriptures, John 3:16, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And the Bible testifies to the reality of eternal life. But what is more, the Bible would actually indicate that there is a latent and deep knowledge of eternity in the heart. We thought about the Egyptian Pharaoh there, and about the fact that even the heathen would have that concept of the fact that life goes on in some way or other. But in Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 11, we are told about God that he has set the world in their heart. And the word world there in that text is the Hebrew word for eternity. We could say that he has set eternity in their heart. And dear friend, I want you to think about that. Because there is something in the minds and the hearts of men and women that thinks about death as something alien. You know, as we think about death and all of the things, and death fills the headlines, and death is something that is the news of the day, and people are thinking about their own mortality. But in the minds and hearts of people, there is that realization that there has to be something more, that our existence does not come to an end. There's an awareness that this transient world, that this world in which we live, is not just all that there is. That sometimes the spiritual breaks upon us. Sometimes there is that thought of the spiritual realities that lie beyond. And we know that there's something more. Now there are people that deny that. There are people that say, well, we go into the grave and that's the end of us. And we go into the ground and that's all that there is. But people who say that, you know, I know in their heart and in their mind that there is that realization that there is something more. There has to be something more. There is that marred and broken link between our souls and eternity. And there's still enough for us to know deep down in our hearts as we contemplate death that this is not the end. But the Bible not only speaks about eternity, but it really gives proof of eternity. And that proof is the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the clearest evidence that we have that eternity and life after death is real. And you think about the priority of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, as he came into this world, and we think of how he died on the cross and shed his blood for our redemption. But then we think of how his body was resuscitated and he was raised from the dead. And the Bible speaks about how he conquered death and hell. And we think of that verse in 1 Corinthians 15 where it says, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? There is no victory in the grave for the child of God because there is an eternity. Because there is something beyond. We think of Paul as he said, to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Now what possible gain could there be if there's no eternity, if there's not something that lies beyond? Oh, we think of how it says in Hebrews 5 and 9, it speaks of Christ, and it says, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. So the testimony of the Bible is absolutely plain and clear that there is an eternity and that we are mortal and will go out into eternity. And again, the question is, where will you spend eternity? But then I want you to think about the challenge of eternity. Let's think about this question about where you will spend eternity. Remember, dear friend, that you're going to spend eternity somewhere. Somewhere. The time is not going to come as we say, well, you're going to cease to be. Sometimes people try to believe that when they die, that's it. But I was reading on the internet when I was preparing the message, and I just come across a little article or a little questions, one of these sites where people answer questions. And this man had put on a question, and he was an atheist, and he said, for the longest time, I've had a strong conviction we cease to exist upon death. No afterlife, no reincarnation. This view has never seriously been challenged. But then he says this, I would like to change that. So here's a man who lived for a long time with the thought he'd been, with the thought that there was no afterlife, no resurrection, no reincarnation, as he thought. But he thought that he, like the beast, went down to the ground, that's it. But he said, I'd like to change that. You see, his atheistic belief, his belief in something after, and nothing after, was a recipe for despair. There's no hope in that. There is no consolation in that whatsoever. And here is that indication that the unseen world was something in his heart. He denied it. He believed. But somehow, through his heart, this knowledge, this realization of eternity was beginning to shine through. And he wanted somebody to speak to him to change his point of view. Dear friend, I want you to realize that you will spend eternity somewhere. But then there's another part to the challenge, because you will spend eternity in either heaven or hell. We think about the Bible's depiction of eternity. We have a big picture there in Revelation 21 and the description of heaven and the wonderful description of that place, that city that lies four square, and about the joys and the blessings of heaven. And then in Luke chapter 16, we have the description of hell. Now, the exact location of heaven and the exact location of hell is something we're not going to enter into tonight. But the character of those places is the important thing. Heaven is a place of holiness. Heaven is a place of happiness, a place of love, a place of communion and fellowship. Hell is a place of violence, a place of misery, a place of hate. And you're going to spend eternity in one of those two places. The poet said, low on a narrow neck of land, midst two unbounded seas I stand, secure, insensible, a point of time, a moment's space, removes me to that heavenly place or shuts me up in hell. There are two roads. You think of that poem by the 20th century poet Robert Frost. In 1916, he was out for a walk with a friend in the woods, and this friend that he was with was a kind of indecisive kind of a man, and he said they would come to a fork in the road, and he would decide to go this way, and no sooner had he gone a few yards up the road than he changed his mind, and he decided that he wanted to see what the other road was like. And when Frost began to think about that, he wrote a poem about it. But the last verse is the one that's quite famous. He said, "Somewhere ages and ages hence, two roads diverged in a wood, and I took the less traveled by, and that has made all the difference." Dear friend, we think of what the Bible says about two roads. It speaks about a narrow road that leads to life and a broad road that leads to destruction. And what you choose as far as entering onto those roads are concerned is going to be what makes all the difference. Dear friend, the Lord said, "Enter ye at the straight gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." Few there be that find it. So, dear friend, you're going to spend eternity somewhere, and you're going to spend it in either heaven or hell. But could I say something else to challenge you? And that is that this question about where you'll spend eternity is the most important question that you are going to face in your life. Now, as we said and indicated a little bit there, what you think about where you're going to spend your life may be something that's very important to you. You know, you can spend your life, maybe you're thinking, well, what kind of friends am I going to have? What area am I going to live in? Am I going to move to a new house, a new area? What luxuries, what wealth am I going to have? All of those questions are comparatively of no importance. About your health, about your job, about your future, all those things comparatively of no importance compared to this question of eternity. You see, dear friend, you could live your life with all of the wealth, and you could live in a place where you fare sumptuously every day, and you have parties every day, and you can go off on holidays, you can spend a little time in Florida, a little time in the Caribbean, or the Canary Islands, or in Australia, or you can go on a cruise, and oh, what a happy life. Maybe. Mightn't be a happy life at all. Some of the millionaires and the most miserable people in this world mightn't be a happy life at all. But even if it is a happy life, what then? What then? What is going to happen when you go out of this scene of time and leave all of those things behind? On the other hand, you might live a life where you are living in a hovel, in a little cooped-up room, in poor food, not enough to eat, all of the things that you need, you can't afford, and you need to pay off the debts that you have. And dear friend, maybe that's an unhappy life. Not necessarily, it's maybe not necessarily an unhappy life. Many people have lived happily in what the world would call poverty. But maybe you are miserable. Then you go out into eternity, into that mansion that the Lord has prepared for those that love Him. Dear friend, your life, as we say, may last 10 years or 20 years or 50 years or 60 years. But dear friend, what about your eternity? It's not how you're traveling. You might be traveling in luxury accommodation. But where are you going? You might be traveling in a beat-up little vehicle. But where are you going? Where are you going to end up? That's the subject, dear friend. Sometimes people think about millionaires, and they envy millionaires. But dear friend, you take the multi-millionaires and they're traveling at express speed down to hell. Do you envy them? I don't envy them. Poor wretches. Because they're going to end up in a lost eternity unless they repent. Story is told, I'm sure you maybe have heard it, of an old jester one time. And he was the king's fool and entertained the king. Because he was making the king laugh, the king one day gave him his staff and he says, take this. And he says, if you can find a bigger fool than yourself, give him the staff. And some years later, the king was ill and he was in his deathbed and the courtiers were called and the family and the servants stood around the bedside. And the king addressed them. He says, I'm about to take my leave from you. I'm going on a very long journey. And he says, I'm not going to return. And the jester stepped forward and he said, Your Majesty, have you made preparation for this journey? And the king had to say, I haven't made preparation. And the jester took the staff and he handed it back to the king. He said, Your Majesty, with all respect, I have found a bigger fool than myself. And how foolish it is to make preparation for floods and make preparation for fires and make preparation for an accident on the road and to pay insurance for these things and to safeguard yourself against health scares and things like that and not to think about, I'm going to use the phrase, the eons of eternity. Where are you going? But something else I want you to see, and that's the conviction about eternity. We can know where we're going to spend eternity. It's possible to have knowledge of where we will spend eternity. The Lord Jesus, of course, knew where he would spend eternity. He said, yet a little while I'm with you, and then I go unto him that sent me. Paul knew where he would spend eternity. He said, for to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. And again he said, to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. And again, when he wrote to Timothy, he said, I fought a good fight. I finished the course. I've kept the faith. He said, henceforth, there is, in other words, beyond that, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. And dear friend, like Paul, like the apostles, you can know where you are going to spend eternity. There's a young missionary by the name of David Appleby. And when he was on his deathbed, he experienced something of the call of heaven. And he said, as he laid there, they are calling there in heaven. He said, I didn't know it could be so beautiful. All is well with my soul. Eternity was breaking in. D.L. Moody knew where he would spend eternity. He said this as he lay on his deathbed. He said, this is my coronation day. I have long been looking forward to it. I know where I will spend eternity. Do you? Do you? The Lord has said, him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. He says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And anyone can know. You can know tonight. You can leave this meeting. You can leave this building with that knowledge that it is well for your soul for eternity. Dear friend, you can't afford to be deceived. You can't afford not to think about this subject. One more thing I want you to see tonight, and that's the closure for eternity. Because what I want you to see now is that where you'll spend eternity is settled in this life. It's settled now. Lord Jesus said in John chapter 8 and verse 24, I said therefore unto you, ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. And then in the 21st verse of the same chapter, it says, then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, ye cannot come. Ye cannot come. If you die in your sins, you can't come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, the Apostle Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5 and 10, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. And he makes it clear that where we will spend eternity, in the sense there are our deeds, but the deeds come from the new life. No deed that a sinner does is going to merit anything before God. But when we're changed, when we're transformed by the grace of God, we are able to do good deeds as far as eternity is concerned. That's what we're going to be judged on. But dear friend, you need the new life. You need to be born again of the Spirit of God. He says plainly here, whether I go, if you die in your sins, whether I go, you cannot come. Whatever scheme you have, whatever thought you have, dear friend, this needs to be settled in this life. It needs to be settled here and now. Because you can go on debating it, and you can go on considering it. But dear friend, the Bible says, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. There are those who say that people can have a second chance. That after death, there's a second chance. Jerry Walls has written a book called Heaven, Hell, and Purgatory. And then in that, he speaks about after death repentance. He makes a defense of the possibility that God, because his love endureth ever, will continue to love and will give people a second chance. Dear friend, that's not what the Lord Jesus said. He said, ye shall die in your sins, and whether I go, ye cannot come. Are you going to believe Jerry Walls? Are you going to believe the likes of him? Or are you going to believe the Lord Jesus Christ? As I said to the young people in the Bible class this morning, God respects our free choice. And you know, if you were to go to hell and then were given the choice, really it would be under duress. You would be trying to escape the flames. And so it wouldn't be a real choice. It wouldn't be a real choice of love and seeking the mercy of God. Wouldn't be a real choice. So you've got to come today. You've got to come now. Oh, we thank God for the way of the cross that leads home. The Lord Jesus Christ died on the center cross of Calvary and shed his precious blood to make a way of salvation. And he offers that way of salvation. He has borne our sins in his own body on the tree. And now he offers salvation to whosoever will. He says, whosoever will may come. Let him that is athirst, he says, take of the water of life freely. And he offers it freely. He offers it now. He offers it in grace to those that will come to him. But dear friend, what is your response? This is the crux of where you're going to spend eternity. What you do with the gospel, what you do with the Lord Jesus Christ. So why don't you take him? Why don't you repent today? Why don't you have your sins dealt with and forgiveness and mercy and make yourself right for heaven and for home? Why not? What foolishness can keep you from trusting the Lord Jesus Christ? Man or woman, isn't it about time you got right with Christ? Where you will spend eternity is determined by what you do with Jesus Christ. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Listen again, the Lord Jesus, he said, the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and the glory of his power. Where we spend eternity is determined by what we do with Jesus Christ. Let me sum it up for you tonight. First, there is an eternity. Second, you'll spend eternity somewhere. Third, you will spend eternity in either heaven or hell. And the subject of where you'll spend eternity is the most important subject that you will face. And where you will spend eternity is determined by what you do with Jesus Christ and his offer of salvation and mercy. And dear friend, you need to come now. After death, it's too late, for you will already be in eternity. So come tonight. Trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Call upon the Lord for mercy. There's a story that's often told. It's about a young French nobleman, 1867, who came to London to consult with Dr. Forbes Winslow, who was a very famous doctor in those days. And he was given lines or commendations from Napoleon III, the Emperor of France in that day, a letter of introduction to this famous doctor. And he came to the doctor and he spoke about his trouble. He said, "I cannot sleep. I haven't had a good night's sleep in 2 years. And unless I can get sleep," he said, "I'll go insane." And Dr. Forbes Winslow asked him, he said, "Why can't you sleep?" He said, "Have you lost money?" He said, "No." He said, "Is your job in danger?" He said, "No." He says, "Well, why is it that you can't sleep?" The young man said, "Don't want to say." Well, the doctor says, "I can't help you if you can't tell me and don't tell me all that is wrong with you." So the young man said, "Well," he said, "I'm an atheist. And," he says, "I lie awake at night with the thoughts of eternity and what's going to happen after death." And he says, "That's what's wrong with me. My waking thoughts are occupied by the thoughts of where I'll spend eternity." And Dr. Forbes Winslow said, "Well," he said, "I can't help you." The young man says, "You can't help me?" He said, "I've been recommended to you. You are the greatest doctor in the land at the present time. What do you mean you can't help me?" He says, "I can't help you, but I can direct you to one who can." And he began to speak about the Lord Jesus Christ. And the young man was amazed. He says, "A great man like you, a man of science, a doctor, believing in things like this, how can that be?" But the doctor said to him, things of God are important to me. I know the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior." He says, You are troubled about eternity." He says, Wouldn't it take any harm to consider the matters of eternity?" And the young man said, "Well, I suppose you're right." And he came back a few times to Dr. Forbes Winslow. And Dr. Forbes Winslow opened up the gospel to him, began to present the gospel. And the young man came, put his trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior. Does eternity matter to you? Where you will spend eternity? May you spend eternity in heaven with the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't reject the Savior tonight. But come, call unto him for mercy.